We had an interruption last week, so what we've been doing basically, we've been studying the subject of tefillah already for almost a year. And what I did the first half of the year, what I began doing the second half of the year, was to try to review and to secure certain very, very basic concepts in Hashkafe, basic concepts in Yiddishkeit, and to build up the world of tefillah, to understand the world of davening, based upon those foundations of Hashkafe in general, a very basic Jewish Hashkafe Bechlal. So we've been discussing one of the most important concepts in Yiddishkeit, is the concept of Malchus, of kingdom, of God's kingdom. Since we've been taught that the purpose of the creation of the world was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom should be revealed below here in this world. So, if that's the case, we have to understand the whole concept of Malchus. So what does that mean, the kingdom of Hashem? So we've been speaking about that for some time, and we're going to speak about it more. But in order to understand Malchus, in order to understand Hashem's kingdom, we have to discuss the topic of Kavod, of glory, of honor, of the honor of God. What does that mean? Kavod and Malchus, the relationship between Kavod and Malchus is very clear. I mentioned last time, it was 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that we find that there are many halachas in Torah, there are laws of Torah that dictate to us how careful we have to be with the honor and the respect of a king. And Chazal have revealed to us that Malchusa de Ara came Malchusa de Rakia. That all kingship in this world, wherever there's a king in this world, it's a reflection of the kingdom in the higher world. Every mortal, every human king is a spark, a piece, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the kingdom of above. And there's a bracha. There's a bracha. HaShecholak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has divided, has given of his kingdom, of his kingship, of his power and his strength to a king of flesh and blood. So there are laws that tell us how careful we have to be with the kavod, with the honor of a king. And the word kavod comes from the word kaved, which means heavy. When something is heavy, it's important, it's weighty, it's serious. Kavod comes from the word kaved. So the tachlis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the purpose of Hashem's relationship with this world is to establish His kingdom as Malchus. And as far as we're concerned, this kingdom of Hashem creates the necessity for us to treat Him, kivyachol, to treat Hashem with this, which is called kavod, which we'll talk more about what kavod means. And that's what we mean. We say the bracha, one of the Sheva brachas by a wedding, and the week of Sheva brachas, Shahakol Baruch Lechvodo. That Hashem created everything to reveal His glory. Shahakol Baruch Lechvodo. Why this is said specifically at a wedding, we'll understand more at the end. Shahakol Baruch Lechvodo. Chazal say, Kol Ma Shebar Kosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo, Lo Baruch El Lechvodo. Everything that God created in the world, He created to reveal His glory. Therefore, we saw last time that Amalek, the power of Amalek who comes into this world to remove the covet of Hashem, to mock and to ridicule God's glory. So therefore, Chazal tell us that Ein HaKisei Shalom, that God's kingdom cannot be complete as long as Amalek exists. Because if there is no covet, if there is no glory, if there's no honor, then there is no kingdom. So if Hashem created the world to reveal His kingdom, it means that that creates within this world the obligation of covet. So we have to understand what does covered mean. And all of this, once we go through this sugya properly, once we go through this subject properly, so then we could understand where tefillah fits in, and where David HaMelech fits into the whole picture, who is the root and source of our tefillah. So what causes a sense of covered? Again, I mentioned last time that we're so used to hearing the word in a negative way, covered, that people are seeking stam, you know, people seeking honor. A wealthy person, a rabbi, or somebody is looking for covered, So we're so used to hearing it in a negative way, so we have to try to deepen our understanding of the holy meaning of the word covered, of what covered is. So we said that covered means from the word kvedut, kvedus, which is seriousness, something which is weighty. Let's understand on a deeper level what's the meaning of covered. It's a pasuk in the 25th chapter of Mishlei. The 25th chapter of Mishlei, pasuk beis, it says, Kvod Elokim Haster Dover. The honor of Hashem is concealing something. Where there's concealment, then there's Kvod Elokim. Kvod Elokim Haster Dover. Kvod Melochim Chakor Dover. Kvod Elokim Haster Dover. The kovod of God means that something is hidden. Kovod, kvod melochim, the kovod of a king, the honor of kings is chakor davar, to investigate, to reveal. Investigating means to reveal. So something here is telling us that the honor of God is when things are hidden, and the honor of kings is davka when something is investigated and revealed. That's what the pasuk says. Kvod Elokim Haster Davar, Kvod Melochim Chakor Davar. The Vilna Gaon explains. There's a seat over here. The Vilna Gaon explains Kvod Elokim, the glory, the honor of Hashem. That's referring to Maase Bereishis. That means God's creation of the world. The creation of the world is filled with such amazing mysteries. As many times as we read Bereishis, in the first letter itself, the first word, you could spend your whole life, and we haven't touched the tip of what the creation of the world, of what that means, and all that's behind the creation. So when it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar, that the glory of God means concealment, it means concealing the mystery of creation. We could never, ever fathom the depths of the mystery of creation. We don't understand the creation of the world. God is beyond us, and how he made the world is beyond us. And the Gra says, therefore we find the name Elokim mentioned 32 times in the act of creation. The name Elokim is mentioned 32 times in the creation of the world. 32 equals exactly kavod. 32 equals kavod. Honor or glory. 32 equals kavod. So the covet of Hashem is that we don't understand him. So far we found out from the beginning of the Gross commentary, we have found out that in order for there to be covet, in order for there to be awe, honor, respect, there must be concealment. When something is completely revealed, you can't respect it. When something is out completely in the open, It doesn't inspire a feeling of covet. And what is the meaning of kvod melochim? The end of that verse in Mishlei says, and the honor of the king is davka chakor davar, to investigate the matter. That means to reveal. What's that referring to? So the Gros says that's referring to klolius haTorah. That means the rest of the Torah, besides the mystery of creation, the rest of Torah, all the stories, all the halachas, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and then the Shvatim and Moshe Rabbeinu, and the story of the Mishkan, and the miracle of Yitzchak, and so on, all the stories of the Torah there, Shlomo Melech says, Kvod Melochim, the honor of the king, Chakor Davar, must be investigated. Must be thoroughly, thoroughly revealed and clarified. And therefore he says that the Torah begins with the letter Beis, Bereishis, and ends with the letter Lamid, Lene Kol Yisrael, from the word Yisrael. So once again it's 32, which equals Kavod. That the entire Torah, the collective presence of the Torah in our lives demands investigation, revelation, understanding. And the more Torah we understand, the more we connect to God's greatness, and the more His kavod is felt in our lives. So this davka should be revealed. So putting it together, how is it that a human being can come to feel the kavod of Hashem? Again, the weightiness of Hashem's presence, the kvedus, the depth and the significance, the awesome, awesome presence of Hashem. So on the one hand, there is a quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is hidden. The story of creation, the mystery of Hashem's essence is beyond human understanding. So there's that aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is hidden, that's awesome. And then there's Hashem's will that has been revealed in the world. It's been revealed, A, through the Torah, where Hashem reveals His will, His mind, and B, through creation, through the world itself, which is so beautiful, which is so amazing, that every single thing in the world, we say in davening, Mol ha'aretz kinyonecha, Mol ha'aretz kinyonecha, the world is filled with acquisitions. What does that mean, kinyanecha? So Reb Tzadik from Lublin says that the world is filled with ways of acquiring God. It doesn't mean things that God owns. It means that how can we come to own Hashem kivyachol? How does a human being come to acquire God? By looking at the world. The world is filled with ways of acquiring Him, finding Him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives with us in this amazing way that's referred to in the Zohar as Sosim Vegalya, which in Hebrew is Satum Vegalui, concealed and revealed, shut tight, closed and opened. On the one hand, the Rebbeinu Shlomo and His essence is beyond us. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is begging us to find out more, to be Chakorim. Kvod Melochim, the honor of the king is to investigate, to try to find out more about your king. Lahavdil, to make this separation between that which is holy and that which is unholy. You know, when you have a favorite, I mean, as kids, or I don't know if this persists when we're adults, but as kids, when you have a certain, the boys, it's mostly athletes, right? When there's a certain ball player. So when I was a kid, I was a big Mickey Mantle fan. I still am, because I could tell when he wasn't feeling well. When I heard about it, Mamish bothered me, and I was asking around to see how he was doing. I wanted to say Mishaberich Berich and Shul, you know. So I was a big Mickey Mantle fan. How was it? You know, the New York Yankees back in the old days. So I wanted to find out everything about the man's life. There wasn't one thing I didn't want to know. The problem was that when I found out too much, then I lost respect for him. But I wanted to find out, you know, what color necktie does he wear? You know, every single prat, every single detail. When you have people that are with actors or actresses, you see they have these stupid soap operas, but it's bad enough that they have these stupid things on the television. They have magazines and books for the people to be able to investigate on a deeper level. You know, the Leiv Melochim, you know, covered Melochim to investigate the glory of the king. Or if it comes to, you know, how many books have been written about Charles and Diana, on two miserable, unhappy people, how much can you squeeze out? How much water can you squeeze out of a rock? And yet, look at the Chakor, Chovid Melachim, to go and to get to the very, very bottom of something. So on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, listen, there's something about me that you'll never, ever, ever know. My Sibirachis, there are things that are hidden about me. Creation and so on. Who I am and what and so on. You'll never know. But then there is something that I've revealed of what I want, that I've revealed to the world through the Torah and through creation. And there, that's the glory of the King Davke, to investigate, to find out every little detail, not to leave one Rashi uncovered, not to leave one Pasuk in Tanakh without trying to get to the bottom of it, right? Without learning, to learn, Chakah, to look, to, the Svarma Kedoshim say, you know, the person has to be brought, it says in Chazal say that a person is going to be brought at the end of his life, he has to answer to Hashem, why is it that there were certain pleasures of this world that were permitted that he didn't take advantage of? Why is it that, you know, how is it, if a person had the money, to see the Swiss Alps and to stand on top of a mountain, to scream out that there's a God in heaven, and to see over there the beauty of Hashem, of Hashem's world, whatever it may be, Chakor Dover, to investigate the Torah, to investigate the world. What we would call in the language of the Chacham Du Anpin, this double face, this what seems to be this conflicting world of Sosim Vigalia, of Hashem being hidden and being revealed, this apparent paradox is Dafka what creates Kovod. This creates Kovod. This creates glory and honor. What does that mean? So the Maharal says, quote, Hatsnias hu hakovod ba'atzmo. Tsnias was in the schools and yeshivas growing up, it was like a dirty word. Tsnias, because it usually meant you're doing something wrong. Tsnias, which is interpreted as modesty. So the Maharal says, Tsnias is kovod. Tsnias, modesty, means kovod. It's the same thing. Hatsnias hu hakovod ba'atzmo. What does that mean? So, this is a difficult concept, and it's important to bring it down very, very much to reality, lemaisa. Not to leave it hovering above in some interesting idea, but to bring it lemaisa down to this world of action. Tznius means that there's a certain amount of beauty that's revealed. Listen carefully. There's a certain amount of beauty that's revealed. And from that small amount of beauty that's revealed, we understand that there's an oymek, a depth of beauty that's concealed. From the little beauty that's revealed, that's all that's allowed to be revealed. From the little itsy bit of beauty that's revealed, one stands in awe if that little bit of beauty is revealed and it's so beautiful, then there's an oymek, there's a depth of concealment. There's a depth of concealment that's so much more beautiful than can possibly be imagined. Tznius always means sosim vegalia. Something is hidden and something is concealed. Tznius doesn't mean running away to a cave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say, and we don't have anything in our Torah, for instance, there's no union in halacha that a Jewish woman has to cover her face. The Muslims do that. That a Jewish woman has to cover her face. There's no such thing. And the ikka beauty of a person, of course, shines from the face. So what does this mean? So it says in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan used to call his levushim, his garments, his covet. He used to call his levushim, his clothing. He used to call his clothing, his long robe, he used to call it covet. Mechabdusi. Rabbi Yochanan karla mane mechabdusi. He called his robe, his cloak, his covet. What's the meaning of that? What's the purpose of a garment? What's the purpose of clothing? Clothing accomplishes two things. It conceals and it reveals. Right? What do I mean by that? Clothing conceals, of course, the nakedness. It hides what should be hidden. It hides. The word levush comes from the word lo bush. Lo busha. There shouldn't be embarrassment. A garment means lo busha. Levush. There shouldn't be busha. There shouldn't be embarrassment. So, one quality of the garment is that it conceals. Poshet, it conceals. It's obvious. And there are halachas about how much needs to be concealed. But the other quality of a garment is that it reveals. So when a person wears something, I think by the Goyim they have a term that's called fashion statement. Is there such a term? A person's making a statement by what he or she wears, yeah? That's usually used in an obscene way. But let's try to fix it. When a person wears a certain garment, it's saying something about who that person is. People will dress differently because they're making different statements about themselves. The colors that a person wears, for instance, you know, the colors are very deep. There's a whole section in the writings of the Ramak and the Pardes Rimonim, the deepest teachings of Kabbalah. You don't have to know them. If a person is drawn towards a certain color and you find yourself drifting more and more towards that color and what you wear, it reveals something about the very essence of who you are. If a person is with a blue or green or orange or yellow. Every color is a certain koach in the world. It's connected to a certain sphere. It's connected to a certain aspect of reality of creation. The shape, the way something is designed, why it appeals to a person, and so on. So when a person wears a garment, the garment on the one hand is the way that I become separated from other people. I'm private, I'm hidden, I'm concealed. On the other hand, it's a way that I am in a certain way making myself known to other people. Right? I make myself known to other people through the same garment. So what Rabbi Yochanan called his garments, his covet, his glory, his honor. So we now can understand a very deep thing when we say in davening all the time from Tehillim, Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh, Hashem encloses himself in glory. The king, Hashem Moloch Geus, we say that Shabbos, Friday night, right? The king encloses himself in glory. Hashem malach geut lavesh. Hashem malach geus lavesh. The king encloses himself in glory. The king encloses himself in glory means that on the one hand, a king has to be separated from his people, from his nation. There has to be separation. Therefore, we have all the laws of honoring a king. Those laws create a distance between the subject and the king. Yeah? They create a distance. Those laws make the king seem impersonal. And the halach is, by the way, that a melech shemochel al kvoidoy ein kvoidoy mochel. If a king says, it's okay, you don't have to stand up when I come in. What's the din? The din is ain't kvod amochel. If a parent says you don't have to stand up, it's okay, you don't have to stand up. But if a king says you don't have to stand up, you're not allowed to listen. Why? Because his glory is the glory of the king of all worlds. It's a reflection of the glory of the king of all worlds. So the din is that a king says, I'm moichel on my kovod, you can't be moichel on this kovod. So kovod creates a distance. In other words, the fact that he's a king, and all the halachas that are involved in respecting a king build a certain wall between the king and the kingdom. They conceal the king. All those laws are meant to conceal the king. That the king doesn't get haircuts in front of other people and so on. All these are there. All these laws are to conceal the king. To hide the king. On the other hand, that's Kvod Elokim Hasta Davar. On the other hand, Kvod Melochim Chakor Davar. The king reveals his will to the people. He speaks to his subjects. He has audiences with them. He loves them. He gives them gifts. He communicates with the people. Where does Kovod come into all of this? Wherever you have one who is partially concealed and partially revealed, there's going to be Kovod. Tznius means something that's concealed and revealed. Much more concealed than revealed, just like with Hashem. There's infinitely more concealed. There's infinitely, infinitely more concealed than Hashem than what's revealed. But the fact that there's, that you look and you stand in utter amazement at the concealment of how Hashem is hidden behind so many veils, that tells you how great he is. And when you look and you see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed of himself and his will and the Torah and so on in creation, and you stand back in absolute awe thinking, this is the little bit that Hashem has revealed, can you imagine? This creates a sense of kovod. This makes something important. If something is completely hidden, there's no kovod, why not? Something's completely hidden. You have no shaychus to it. If something's completely hidden, I mean, I have no respect for molecules. I never saw one. I read about it, but I never met one. So it doesn't. I have no cover for them. I mean, they're here. I don't know where they are. Cells and molecules and atoms and electrons and protons. It's all beautiful stuff. I just don't know. I mean, I saw pictures. I heard about it. But COVID? What kind of COVID? They're not here. I mean, I don't see them. I have no connection to them. Something which is completely revealed. A person who gives away secrets. There are people that I know. You talked to them for 5 minutes. I had a call last night on the phone. I came home last night. What was this? Yeah, my daughter sent a message. There's a certain girl that called and never heard of her. And that she's waiting up all night if I could please call back. Waiting up all night, it's an emergency. Nope. So I called right away. I didn't know who she was. And she starts to tell me about this. She went out with a boy and this is no good. And that's about her mother. And her father. I said, I don't even know who you are. I don't know who you are. Maybe we could talk a few minutes a little bit and go... You know, can we backtrack a little bit and bring me up to date a little bit over the last 20 years or so? You know, it's like, but such a lack of tznius. And I don't mean tznius that there wasn't anything that she said that was not appropriate. I don't mean there was anything, God forbid, that wasn't appropriate, but it wasn't tznius because a person who is completely revealed, where there's no concealment, there's no covet. And there's a very, very fine balance to know how much to reveal and how much to conceal. How much to reveal and how much to conceal. And the relationships between people is a very big yesod, between parents and children, between a husband and wife, Sometimes a husband and wife feel so familiar and comfortable with each other that there's a lack of covet for one another. It's a lack of covet. In all relationships, there has to be concealment. And there has to be that which is revealed. And that creates a sense of covet. That's where kvedus comes from. That's why regarding the Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk says, "Ubeheichalo kulo omer kavod." The place where Hashem's kavod was revealed most was in the Beis HaMikdash. Ubeheichalo, in his holy place, kulo omer kavod. His kavod was outspoken. Everything in his holy place in the Beis HaMikdash was kavod. Ubeheichalo kulo omer kavod. What does that mean? That on the one hand, Chazal tell us the pasuk in Shir Shirim, when it says in Shir Shirim, Heviyani Hamelech Hadarav, that the king brought me into his hidden chamber, into his room. It's a very intimate sound to the pasuk, right? Heviyani is talking in Shir Shirim. The Song of Songs is talking about the love story between Hashem and the Jewish people. So it says in the pasuk, Heviyani Hamelech Hadarav, that the king brought me into his private room. That means, according to Chazal, the Beis HaMikdash, where Hashem's glory is revealed in the most amazing way, through miracles and so on, that's Hashem in that quality of Kvod Melochem Chakor Davar, that the glory of the king is to see his greatness, is to be able to see and to investigate and to understand his greatness. So the Beis HaMikdash is, Heviyani HaMelech Hadarav, the king brought me into his hidden room, into his hidden chambers. On the other hand, the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah midaraisa, mikdashi tiro, to fear his holy place. One has to be very, very careful. You're not allowed to get too comfortable in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to become too comfortable. It says, Heviyani HaMelech Hadarav, is saying the king is bringing you into his private room. So you think, oh, my buddy is great. You want to take off your shoes and to relax and to sit down. And hey, what are you doing over there? You can't take off your shoes. You can't go with your shoes, rather. I'm just the opposite. Right in the Beis HaMikdash. And so on the one hand, there's a mitzvah of Alila Regel. There's a mitzvah to go up on the holidays, to go up on the Yom Tovim, to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, Alila Regel. And again, that Alila Regel, going up to the Beis HaMikdash, is a very cozy feeling. Alila Regel, that we walk into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place, he invites us in, we feel comfortable, we walk up to Hashem. Alila Regel. On the other hand, the pasuk says, Shmor Raglecho Kasher Telech Al Beis Elokim, watch your feet when walking to the house of God. You better be careful where you go and what you do and how you speak and what you're thinking when you go to God's house. So just when you're feeling really great and the COVID is starting to become a little bit diminished, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take it easy. And then a little bit of the veil, like one little veil is pulled aside and you see something shining from my separation, from creation, from Hashem, in who Hashem is. And then we all step back in terror and in fear from the creator of the universe who will never ever understand. So this everything in our relationship with Hashem moves in such a way, as we spoke about the first couple of, right after Pesach, which is called in Chassidus, based upon the Pesach in Yechezkel, Rotzo V'Shov. It's a very big topic in Chassidus. Rotzo V'Shov means running and returning. It's actually used this way in Sefer Yetzirah, running and returning. That you run to God, you run towards Him, and just when you start getting a little bit close, then you return. You turn away. And we spoke about this, how in every bracha this takes place, because in each bracha, whenever you make a bracha, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem. You say, it's very intimate. Baruch Atah means, blessed are you Hashem, like your mom is next to him. That's Kvod Malachim. Baruch Atah Hashem. Hashem is the name of love and compassion and so on. But then just as you're getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the second half of the bracha is Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. That's already very impersonal. King, like, you know, master of the world, God of the world. It's very hard to be friends with the master of the universe. See, we're uncomfortable with the master of the universe. So because the Beis HaMikdash, listen to this, that because the Beis HaMikdash is the place where Hashem's glory is revealed down below here in this world, therefore the most profound demonstration of this conflict between what is revealed and what is concealed must take place in the Beis HaMikdash. So Davka, the place where Hashem calls us and invites us, where He reveals His presence, Hevi Ani HaMelech Hador, of Davka, that place, if you go too far, you die. Right? You have to be careful where you're going. And that creates that strange, it's weird, that strange conflict between what is revealed and what is concealed. That is the source of COVID in the world on all levels. I don't have time to explain this now. Again, in terms of interpersonal relationships as well, this is where COVID is found. You'll have relationships between parents and children where, in America, this became a big thing when I was growing up in the 60s, that parents and their children are supposed to be buddies, best friends. They go everywhere together, best friends, right? And I mentioned to you, I think, once in the class that I had a friend of mine that where I lived. He wasn't Shomer Shabbos, but they were very fine people, Jewish people. And he used to call his father by his first name. And my father refused to allow me to play with that boy anymore after he heard that. I remember as a child, it bothered me. My father had never heard in his life such a thing. He said he never heard by a non-Jew, never heard by a guy, that if somebody should call a father by a first name. So I was thinking, that's pretty neat, you know, it's pretty neat. I would never do it. You know, I would never do it. I don't recall until I was much older, my father called me by my name either. He would call me something else. I don't know, he would call me, and he didn't call me by my name. Only now, the last 2 or 3 years, he's starting to call me by my name once he says to me, Moshe. But otherwise, he would say different, he would use different words, always beautiful and nice and affectionate, but not by a name. To call my father by my mother by a name is something I'm sure that all of you can identify and relate to what I'm saying. So when the wall breaks down between a parent and a child, that they see each other as equals, so there's no COVID. The parent doesn't respect the child doesn't respect the parent. On the other hand, if the walls are too thick between a parent and a child, and the parent is too hidden, so then that's devastation as well. And the child is destroyed by that, and there's no COVID either. The person's too much of a mystery to me. There were certain tzaddikim, these are things that are not discussed, and you don't find them in the typical biographies of tzaddikim books that all sound the same anyway, that there are many instances, unfortunately, of tzaddikim who had children that went completely off the path. And I'm not going to mention names, there's no point to that, because the world has chosen to keep these things as hidden as possible. There were famous tzaddikim who had children who were Mechalei Shabbos, went completely off. Only when you have a relationship of sosim vegalia, of revealed and hidden, of ahava and yira, of love and fear, can there be COVID. That's the Rambam writes in Yesod HaTorah, Hakel ha-nichbad v'hanora, God who is honored and who is awesome. Hakel ha-nichbad v'hanora hazem mitzvah li-ahavo uli-yira oso. It's a mitzvah to love Him and to fear Him. Listen to the sentence. Hakel ha-nichbad v'hanora. God who is honored, glorified, and awesome, and nora. Mitzvah, hakel ha-nora ha-nichbad v'hanora hazeh. Mitzvah li-ahavo uli-yira oso. It's a mitzvah to love Him and to fear Him. I mean, there's a maaser, there was a certain Jew, a story about a person who was who was a very, very strong misnagid to the Chayzer from Lublin. He was very much opposed to the Rebbe from Lublin. So this misnagid had done something that was completely out of line. And the Chassidim wanted to tear him to pieces. They were going to literally destroy this person. They were going to destroy him. So the Chayzer said to leave him alone, and the Chayzer invited him for Shabbos. The Chassidim couldn't believe it. Here they were prepared to tear him to pieces, that he dared to do such a disrespectful thing, whatever he did to the Chayzer. And the Chayzer himself invites him for Shabbos. He invites him for Shabbos. So the man was interested to come because he wanted to find new things that he could go back to the Misnagdim in the stand and to poke fun at. So he was all excited that he's having an invitation. He can get an inside view of the corrupt world of the Rebbe's court. So he's there. He stays there for Shabbos. He never saw such things in his life. He never saw such greatness, such holiness in his life. After he's there for a few hours, he starts to cry, thinking about how could he have done that, and he's crying. And then it was after Shabbos, he comes to the Rebbe crying, they ask for forgiveness, and the Rebbe says, you have to stay another week here. So he says, please, Rebbe, please, I beg you, please let me go. He says, no, I want you to stay a week. So by the end of the week, you understand, the man was crawling on the floor, kissing the feet of the Rebbe. He said, if I would have known, if only I would have known. I didn't know. So the Chassidim wanted to punish him. We're going to teach you how to respect our Rebbe. Just like parents. Huh? I'm going to teach you how to respect me. Boy, I'm going to teach you how to respect me. Come over here. I'll give you a fast lesson in respect. I'm going to teach you how to respect me. The only way that a child respects is when the child sees the greatness of a parent. That's how the child respects. There are no shortcuts. Here in America, we'd like to have shortcuts. We'd like to have shortcuts. Go to school, they'll tell you what Kibbutz Aim is. Did they tell you what Kibbutz Aim is? They told you, so how can you be talking back? I would never talk back to my father because he doesn't deserve it. How could I talk back to him? He's too great a person for me to talk to like that. I would never think of it. I wouldn't dare think of it. Never crossed my mind to answer back to him. To my mother, it did. That's a different parasha. We already know from Chazal, you know how mother is. Mommy was already, you know. But to my father, it was just, I never ever dreamt of it. I would never have thought of it. And there were times he told me things that I didn't want to hear. I never would have dreamt of. Even in my thoughts, being disrespectful. It's not because, I'm not saying because of any madriga of my own, I'm saying because of my father's madriga. Of such a deep and hidden person that was so, that I stood in complete respect and awe from such a person. With his sneers, there's covet. I'm telling you, this, all what I'm talking about now is, you'll see, Mitzvah Shem, but only in 2-3 weeks from now, how it's, get the tefillah. Tefillah can only be understood when we learn this parasha of covet. Of covet of the king. Where there's no tznius, there's no covet. Where a person dresses in a way where there's too much that's revealed. It's good to chaz this before the summer a little bit, no? When a person dresses improperly, there's no covet. There's no covet for other people. There's no covet for oneself. There's no covet for oneself. That's even sadder. That's even sadder. What that means, that a person has to honor even himself. That a person has to be concealed even from himself. In a certain way. What that means is a very deep subject. Not everything that's inside a person should be revealed even to the person himself. That there should be covet. Now, once you already have an introduction into the subject of COVID, which I'm to a great extent leaving concealed. I'm only saying a little bit of what I have in my mind now. That also is an inner sneeze. When a person is learning with somebody, not to say more than should be said, to try to cover up two measures for each one that's revealed, that's also important. But I'm hoping that each person, each one of us on our own, should think about how to create more covet in our lives. Since the Jewish people are called Malachim, it's called B'nai Malachim, the children of the king himself, so the child of a king has to act in a dignified way, it has to be covet. But this is the klal, this is the rule. Covet exists when there's these two ways of sasim v'gol, of concealment and revelation. That creates covet. Now let's return to the subject of Malchus. Let's return to Malchus. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Ramban, not Rambam, Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's really from Medrash Chazal. It says at the beginning of the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, Lo yelocha Elohim acherim al panai. You shall have no other gods before me. So the Ramban brings the language of Chazal, Loma Namar, Lefi sho'im ha'noichi Hashem alakecha. Why do you have to say there should be no other gods? You already said, Anochi Hashem alakecha. Hashem begins the Ten Commandments by saying, I am Hashem, your God. So what do you have to say there are no other gods? You already said, I am God. That's what Chazal is. You already said, I am God. So what do you mean? I am God, so there should be no other gods? So Ramban brings the Medrash Chazal. Moshe l'melech shenichnas l'medina. This could be compared to a king who comes into a certain new place that he's conquered. That's his. Omalei avodav gezor lohem gezeres. So the ministers of the king say to the king, Your Majesty, make rules for them. Make gezeres, decrees. This is now, these people are now your subjects. Gezor lohem gezeres. So make gezeres, make decrees, make laws to rule over them. Amalahem, the king said. Love. Nope. Not yet. Kishi kablu malchusi, egzor lahem gzerosai, heyach mekaim. First they have to accept my kingdom. First they have to acknowledge that I'm king. Once they've acknowledged that I'm king, once they've accepted my kingdom, then I can give them gzeros. It's the same thing in the house. Once they've accepted my kingdom, then I can make zeirus. Kach Omar Malkum Yisrael. So this is how Hashem addressed the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelocha elohim acherim. Ani hu shekibaltem aleichem alchusi b'mitzrayim amru hein. So first Hashem starts up, he says, like it's almost like with a question mark. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I should say, Sichem Eretz Mitzrayim. Aren't I Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim? Hey, means yes. You took care of us. You're the one that took us out. Kishem shekibalta machusi kablu gzerosai. The same way that you accepted me as your king. The same way that you acknowledge that I'm the one who took you out from Mitzrayim, I'm the one that performed all these great miracles, and I'm the one who controls and directs the world and so on, which is what was brought out with all these miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The same way you acknowledge that, once you've already acknowledged that, then kablu gzerosai. Now I'm going to tell you my laws. Lo yelecha elohim acherim al panai. All the Shabbos and keep it of aim and so on. Shavuot Shav and Shabbos, the rest of the business. Like Sachma, like Sinuf, and all about Tirtza. All the Ten Commandments. But Koidim, there has to be a Melech. First, one must feel that this is the king. And only after the king exists. So then, there could be a giving over of Gezeres. And we see this every day in the way that we daven, by the way. Every day in our order of davening, it's the Gemara and Brachas. Every day in our order of davening, Chazal asks, why do we say Shema before Vahoya Im Shamoa? So Kadesh Yikabal Olav Ol Malchus Shamayim Tchila, Vachakich Yikabal Olav Ol Mitzvos. When we say Kriya Shema, we first say Shema Yisrael Hashem Okeinu Hashem Echad. After we accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being our King, we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Okeinu Hashem Echad. Then we go on to the second section, which is Vahoyim Shamoa. Then we talk about observing the mitzvahs. So before you can talk to someone about keeping mitzvahs, you first have to establish your kingdom. If you're not a king, then I'm not interested in what you have to tell me. Right? That's, by the way, that's why there's a famous disagreement between the Rambam and the Ramban. It's a question of the Ramban, what he's really disagreeing, but whether or not Emunah is one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam counts belief in Hashem as the first of the 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban, in part of his comments, seems to be saying, this is the Bahag, that belief in Hashem is not one of the 613 mitzvahs. Believing in God is not one of the 613 commandments. Why not? Because it's a prerequisite, the 613. If you don't believe in God, if there's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. If there's no commander, there are no commandments. So the Bahag is saying that how could there be, it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, it's the prerequisite that 613 mitzvahs should be meaningful. If you believe in God, and this is the context in which the Ramban is bringing this, if you believe in Hashem, and that He's all-powerful and so on, if you believe in the 13 principles of faith, then mimeila, mitzvahs are meaningful. There's a mitzvah, so there are mitzvahs. What's the root of this? Let's go deeper into this. Let's understand the shirish of this. If not for the Malchus of Hashem, if not for that aspect of Hashem that has been revealed to us, remember we're going to be talking along these lines all the time, that aspect of Hashem that is known to us, right? Because Hashem is partially known to us, not in His essence, Chas v'Chalil. But in terms of that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is known to us, that's called Malchus. That's called His kingdom. There's no king without a kingdom. Obviously, it means when we speak about His kingdom, it's something that we can relate to. We're His kingdom. We're part of His kingdom. So only where there's a Malchus of Hashem, only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed, are Torah, mitzvahs, and davening meaningful. We don't daven to that which is hidden, completely hidden to us. Why would we say Avinu Malkeinu? Why would we cry? Why would we ask for things? It's only mitzad, it's only from the perspective of Malchus, from God's being revealed in our lives, and His will being revealed through the Torah and through creation, that it's meaningful to daven. That there's any inyan of doing a mitzvah. Hashem has revealed His will. This is not talking about Kabbalah. This is not talking about Maaseh Bereishis. This is talking about the Malchus, something that we could see, that we understand. The Nefesh HaChaim explains at great length that as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His Atzmus is concerned, His essence is concerned, there's no room for davening b'chlal. We don't daven. We don't speak about when we cry about Hashem and the Shechina and Yerushalayim and Mashiach and Parnos and all these things, we're not talking about the Baruch Shalom and His essence. And even when the Kabbalah Sforum discuss the 10 Sviros, they're not talking about God and His essence, which is beyond their understanding. It's not His Malchus. The Malchus, the covet of the Malchus is that there's something revealed and something concealed. Only in a situation where there is revelation and concealment is there avodas Hashem, is there the service of God that takes place through davening, through learning, and through mitzvahs and so on. Because there's enough that's been revealed that makes me want to serve Him, that makes me want to accept His laws, that makes me want to speak to him. Because I've seen him, I've heard of him, I know enough of him. Just like the king who came into that kingdom and said, listen, they don't know me yet, but I'm going to start announcing laws. First, let them know me a little bit. They have to know me. That's why every one of our brachas is in such a nusach of brachat Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Whenever we make a bracha, we're saying Melech HaOlam. And that comes back to what we said before, Shahakol Bar Lechvoda. That's what Malchus means that we've been talking about the last month or two. Malchus means that I believe that every single tiny thing in this world somehow could be used to reveal the king's presence, to connect to the king. Everything that God made is part of his Malchus. So when I take an orange or an apple in my hand and I say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, when I say those magic words, Melech HaOlam, what it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in you, and I believe in your expressed desire to reveal your kingdom in this world. And this apple is part of your world, and I was created to reveal your kingdom, your desire to dwell in the world. Therefore, I'm taking this piece of fruit, and I am pronouncing over it the bracha Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, King of the world. And I'm using this to reveal Malchus Hashem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've told us that you want to have his chabrus, a connection to the world. You want to rule over the world. Therefore, this is all explained in Nefesh HaChaim, and is explained in the fourth chapter of the second section of Nefesh HaChaim, great length. If you have a Nefesh HaChaim, you should take a look over there. It's not in English, though. Not yet. Nefesh HaChaim. So this is what we've learned. What we've learned is that Malchus is the shorish, Malchus is the root of all life in this world. It's the reason a man was created. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expressed his will to relate to us, to connect us to his world. And this is the deeper meaning of the name, how we pronounce Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Hashem says to Adam HaRishon, it's found in the Medrash, Omer Lo V'Ani Mashemi. Adam HaRishon gave names to everything. And Hashem said, what's my name? What's my name? Amaloy lechon noel hikare alav dalad nun yud. You, Hashem, it is fitting that you be called alav dalad nun yud. That you be called Hado Nai. It's fitting that you be called by that name. Why? Sha'ata odon lechol b'riyosecha. Because you are the king or the master of all of your creatures. So Omra Ba'ach, the Medrash says, Ani Hashem Hu Shemi. So it says in Yeshayo. So Baruch Shalom says, Ani Hashem Hu Shemi. Good. That's how I'll be called in this world. Even though, of course, it's written Yud Kev Vav Kei, we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Even though it's written with a Yud Kev Vav, we're not allowed to pronounce that name. So we pronounce it until Mashiach comes, or at least we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's what it says in the Novi, Ani Hashem Hu Shemi. So Chazal and the Medrash and say, Hu Shemi Shekarli Adam HaRishon. That is the name that was given to me by Adam HaRishon. And this is explained in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it is explained by Rashi, that the meaning of that name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adnus, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Adnus, Rashi says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Hu Loshon Ani Adon Lachem. Elokeichem means I am your master. I rule over you. It was on that day that Adam HaRishon was created. It was on that first day, that first Rosh Hashanah ever, that Adam HaRishon was created, and he recognized the Malchus of Hashem, and he understood and he acknowledged Hashem's desire and will to dwell here in this world and to rule over creation. So it's on that day, on that first Friday, on that Rosh Hashanah, when Adam HaRishon came into existence, that we have the Shir Shel Yom, that we say every Friday, the Song of Friday, we say, Hashem Moloch Geus Lavesh. We say Hashem is king, he became enclosed in royalty. He became enclosed in his greatness. So Gemara says, because on that day, why do we say Hashem Moloch on Friday? Because on that day, with the creation of man, that Hashem became king over the world. Until the creation of man, there was no kingdom. Because there was no one to acknowledge the kingdom. There was no one to recognize that every tiny little thing in the world, everything in the world was for the glory of the king. There was no one to know that he was hidden or revealed. That's why he was given a mitzvah. On that day when he was created, the first thing he was told was he was given the mitzvah of La'avdo L'shamra, to work in the garden and to guard it. And all the Mefarshim talking, what does that mean? What's there to do? To work in the garden, La'avdo L'shamra. It's at that very, it's at that day that the first tefillah, the first davening came into existence, the first tefillah that was ever uttered. Everybody knows that. It says in the Torah, V'chol siyach asodah terem o'iyah v'aretz, V'chol esav asodah terem yitzmach, Ki lohim tu Hashem l'kim al-haretz, V'odam ayin la'avodis adam. The Torah says that even though the grass was all created, and the plants were created, but they were beneath the surface of the earth, because man was not yet created. So what does that mean? So Chazal tells Rashi, brings down, what does that mean that man wasn't created? Pirush Rashi says, L'yotsu el al-pesach ha-karka amdu, that all the grass that was created earlier in the week was standing right beneath the surface, Ad Yom Hashishi, till the sixth day Lama. Why? Kilo Himter. Because Hashem did not yet bring rain, so it couldn't grow. Why didn't Hashem bring rain? Lefisha Adam Ayin Lavadis Adama. Because no human being existed. Vein Makir B'Tavosim Shel Ksham. There was no human being who could acknowledge the goodness of rain, the wonder of rain. Uchshaba Adam V'yoda Shehem Tzarech La'olam. When Adam was created and he knew that rain was necessary for the world, Hispalel alayhem, he began to daven. And then the grass was able to grow. That's the first tefillah that was ever said. The first davening that ever took place was a human being came to the world, and only when there's a human being is the malchus of Hashem revealed. Hashem moloch geus lavesh. Is it understood that Hashem is the Adon, is the master of the world? He's so deep, he's so mysterious. And on the other hand, look at the beautiful things he's made in this world. And the human being only is able to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon, and that the human being realizes that he has the strength to open the gates to the palace of the king, to show the world the presence of the king, to scream out, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that Hashem is master of the world. That was the first, only Adam called him that, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And with that feeling of kavod, and with that feeling of malchus, man begins to daven. That's what we're up to. Mitzvah Shem will continue next week, so a little bit hidden, a little bit revealed. Yeshakayach.